Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil karim amma ba'd. Continuing the major signs of Qiyamah, the Dukhan. At this time, the skies will be covered with a dense fog, which will envelop the earth for 40 days. All Muslims will develop colds as a result of the fog, and all disbelievers will lapse into unconsciousness. Some will recover after a day, while others after 2 or 3 days. Number 6, the rising of the sun in the west. Among the major signs of Qiyamah is the rising of the sun from the west. It is reported in the hadith that the night preceding the rising of the sun from the west will be prolonged. This extended duration of the night will instill restlessness and fear into humans and children, into humans and animals. Children will awaken crying, travelers will tire, and people will repent for their sins on seeing these signs. At the end of this long night, the sun will rise the following morning from the west. The rays of the sun will be very dull. It will more or less reach its meridian and then again set in the west. Thereafter it will rise in the east as usual. When this event occurs, neither will acceptance of tawbah of iman nor tawbah be valid. Dabbatul ard. After the rising of the sun in the west, an earthquake will grip Mount Safa in Makkah, Mukarramah. The mountain will split open and a strange beast will emerge. This animal will speak to the people. With the staff of Musa alayhi salam, it will draw a glittering line on the forehead of the Muslims. With the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam, this animal will stem the noses or necks of the disbelievers, due to which their faces will be blackened. Sabriz, number 8. After the disappearance of this creature, a very fresh and fragrant breeze will emanate from the south. Its effect will be that all the believers will pass away, and there will remain no person to differentiate between virtue and evil. Number 9, the reign of the people of Habasha Abyssinia. After the death of all Muslims, in the way mentioned above, the earth will be filled with disbelievers. Now the world will come under their domination, and the people of Habasha will rule. They will destroy the Kaaba Sharif, and remove the treasures buried under it. The world will be plunged into immorality, evil and corruption. People will satisfy their deep carnal desires in public like animals. The Quran will be raised, so that no portion of the Quran will be seen to be written in any book. There will remain no believers, and this will be the worst era of moral degeneration and oppression. There will also be severe sickness and disease. And number 10, a raging fire. The last sign of Qiyamah is that a large and raging fire will commence in Aden, in Yemen, which will turn the people towards the plains of resurrection. Qiyamah will now take place. Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, the 18th Juz was recited. Commences with the Surah Al-Mu'minun. And in this Surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the qualities, those who have ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the necessity of it, the importance of it, and there will be success and izzat and rahat and comfort is all based on having connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if a person wants complete success. So Allah ta'ala commences the surah with mentioning who are successful al-mu'minun. And Allah ta'ala ends the surah mentioning innahu la yuflihu al-kafirun. The kuffar and disbelievers will never be successful. In the beginning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions 7 qualities of the people of iman and the people who are successful. They've got 7 qualities within them. The first quality is iman. Iman bil ghaib, in the unseen, they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they have this full conviction that everything is happening by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the iman is correct, what we are reading in for a rectification of our beliefs. A person must have his correct beliefs. So this is the first quality of success. Without iman, everything else is useless and it will not be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 2, Allah says, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who have got concentration and devotion. Ulama have given a tafsir, sakinuna khaifun. That means the lamza is sakina, at ease. And in their hearts they've got the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un. Number 3, walladhina hum anil lahwi mu'ridun. These people are abstain, it turn away completely from all types of futility. Futility, the ulama say, one meaning is kufr and shirk, which is the highest level. Then the second level of futility is sins. And the third level of futility is la ya'ani, futile things. Even that they have seen completely. And here Allah used the word mu'ridun, not tarikun. Tarikun means they leave it out. But mu'ridun means a person turns his back away from it. He's got hatred for it. He dislikes it. So this is an effort a person has to make. that sin and futile things must become hated in the sight of a person. So this is the quality of a true believer. Number four, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. They fulfill their zakat, they make sure that they regard their wealth, they are spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or another meaning which some ulama have taken, zakat is general meaning, purification, they are involved in purification all of the time. Purifying their wealth by means of zakat, purifying their heart from jealousy, from pride, from arrogance, from all of the evil qualities. So they are engaged always in purification and purifying their minds, purifying the heart, everything. The body also is purified, wuzu, ghusl comes in there. They remain always in a state of purity. The next one quality Allah mentions, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظٌ. The fourth quality is that they are always looking after their chastity, their morality. They are very chaste people. Allah has given permission for a person to fulfill his desires with his wife, slave girls. فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومٍ. There is no malamat. They will not be censored for it. But it's not the object of a person's life. It's not, that a person is always running after it. So Allah said, you won't be censored. You won't be taken to task for that day. فَمَنْ يَبْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ. A person who seeks anything besides this, whether it is homosexuality, lesbianism, masturbation, pornography, all it's filth and dirt. Ulama say, besides the halal which Allah has made for a person, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. They have exceeded the bounds. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. The sixth quality is that a person is very particular and is always looking about the amanat and trust which Allah has given him. He fulfills them. Any pacts and promises which he makes with people, he makes sure he fulfills the pacts and promises also. And in the last quality, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. They are always making hifazat and protecting their salah, the times of their salah, the actions in their salah, and the wudu, etc. They are looking after it. So Allah mentioned in the beginning salat and in the ending salah also, ulama say the reason for this is that if a person has got perfection in salah, then inshallah all of the other qualities will come into a person's life. That is the importance of salah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned here. And Allah, after mentioning these qualities, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ. These are the warithin, those will inherit. الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. What will they inherit? Firdaus, the highest levels in Jannat. And they will remain there forever and forever. So this is an effort a person has to make to bring these qualities, to see whether we have got Iman within ourselves or not, and the qualities of Iman. This is an effort a person has to make. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, why must a person have these qualities? Why must a person have the ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah says, because I am the one who has created you. Look at the bounties. From where Allah Ta'ala created you, what were you before, how you came into existence. And the second thing is that you'll have to stand up on the day of Qiyamah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ تُبْعَثُونَ. Thirdly, Allah has given you so many favors after creating you. Allah Ta'ala didn't just leave you in the world like that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending down water for you. Allah is giving food for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the earth for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving different fruits for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the oil he's given for you. The animals Allah has given for you. The milk which is coming out. Different benefits from the animals. All of these bounties Allah has given to you. So why must you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you look in the past, look at the incident of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, when he went to his people and told them to build up a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. They were not prepared to accept. And eventually this led to their destruction. Many other nations Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned how eventually they were destroyed because they did not follow the usuls and principles of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And what did the Anbiya alayhi salam come with? There are a few other commands are mentioned. يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Allah actually commanded the Rasuls, the great Anbiya alayhim as-salam. Allah in the Quran mentions all three of them. Ya ayyuha ar-rusul, the highest level is the first. Allah mentions Ya ayyuha an-nas, O people, all of you, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba. Eat halal and tayyib, halal and pure food. Allah addresses the whole of mankind. Then one level higher, Allah says to the people of Iman, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. Allah commands them to eat the pure. And then here Allah Ta'ala goes to the highest level, even the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, and the highest of the Anbiya is the Rasuls. Allah commanded them also, كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Be very careful about your food, and وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحَاتِ. Automatic effect of eating the right food, and the correct food, and the pure food, and there's no doubt in that food, is that a person will be able to do good actions. So anyhow, this is the command which Allah Ta'ala has given to all Anbiya alayhi wasalam, to all nations, that the food you must be careful about, do good actions, and then build up your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَانَ اللَّهُ وَانَ رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. I am your creator and sustainer, so fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions other qualities which are found within the believers. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions other favors of His. That Allah has created your ears, your eyes and your heart. But very little bit of shukr you make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given you life and Allah is the one who gives death. Allah changes the day and the night. All of these bounties. So a person can become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if not, in this world some people were destroyed. Otherwise on the day of Qiyamah, when a person, when he dies, he'll say, Rabbi Raji'un, send me back in this world, La'alli a'malu salihan, now I can do good actions. He'll be said, Kalla, never ever. These are just words which you are saying. Now is the day of Qiyamah, Barzakh, you have to live in the Qabr for a very long time until the day of Qiyamah. And then the trumpet will be blown and you will stand up on the plains of Qiyamah. Then there won't be any family ties amongst you people. You cannot ask one another. Now your amal will be weighed to see who had a heavy weight. They will be completely successful. On the other hand, a person whose scales are light, they will be the ones who will be in complete loss. And they will speak on the day of Qiyamah. They will say, Oh Allah Ta'ala, take us out from this Jahannam. How are we suffering inside there? But Allah Ta'ala will say, No, you must remain in there, disgrace now. Don't even speak to me regarding this. My bandas and servants came in the world, you took them as a big joke. You used to laugh at them and mock at them. Today you are getting the punishment. It will be asked, how long did you live in the world? They said, we only lived for one day or portion of a day. Such a short time. Now when we are looking back in the world, it was a very, very short time. Allah said, do you think we created you in vain? And you will not be returning back to us. Definitely you have to come back to us. So then a person will realize it will be too late. Inna wa la yuflihul kafirun. Kufar will never be successful. Oh, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, Rabbi ighfir warham. Oh Allah, have forgive me. Because you are human beings who will make mistakes. So acknowledge our mistakes. Oh Allah, have mercy upon me. And you are the best of those who have mercy upon a person. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the next surah, Surah An-Nur. In here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned many, many usools and principles of righteous living, social conduct, which a person has got. In the surah before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, One, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ Those people who look after the chastity. So in this surah, in great detail, Allah ta'ala mentions about chastity, because this will create nur and light in the heart of a person when he follows the adab and etiquette regarding the social etiquette. And if this is not there, then this leads to a lot of destruction in society, as we are seeing, unfortunately, in the whole world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to teach this surah to the women folk. Nazir Aisha radiallahu anha also used to put a lot of emphasis on the surah. It must be taught to the women folk, especially. They all even mentioned on it, because the commands are for all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with the surah mentioning that the worst one evil crime is zina, fornication, adultery. That it's such an evil action it is, that when a person does this action, he's not married, he must be lashed 100 times. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't ever have mercy in your heart regarding the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you believe in Allah on the day of Qiyamah, compassion shouldn't overtake you. Let's punish this person and let one group of believers be present also. This is if a person is not married. And if a person is married, he must be stoned to death. From all the punishments, whether he's stealing, a person becomes a murtad also, his neck is just cut off and he's killed like this. But for this action of zina, because it's such an evil action, it causes so much of fasad and trouble in the whole world. The punishment is a person must be stoned to death. This will create so much of fear in the hearts of people. People will completely abstain from it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions there that zina is such an evil action, and comes in certain hadith, that when a person does this evil action, then actually his iman comes out of the body. And the iman hovers above the head of that person. And imagine if a person has to leave this world in that condition. And when he finishes the action, then the iman returns back to that person, but in a very weakened form. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when zina and fornication and riba become common, then halla bi sakhatillah, they have made halal, they are asking Allah ta'ala for his punishment to come down upon any nation when this becomes common amongst people. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, however, it does not mean that now we can accuse anybody of committing adultery. You have to be very, very particular. If you've got four witnesses only, then only a person must go and testify. And if you do not have so, and if three people or two people or some people accuse somebody else, that person will be lashed 80 times. And his shahadat will never be accepted in the future forever until he passes away. And he will always remain a fasik and a sinner in the sight of Allah. Unless he makes tawbah, then he will come out of the fisk. So be very careful who you are accusing. And if sometimes you see your own wife in that evil action, now obviously your wife, you can't going to bring four witnesses, it's difficult. And how are you going to live with her for the rest of your life? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the masail of li'an, which is also mentioned here, how a person will go to the qadi in the court, and eventually the whole marriage will be broken off, there will be separation between the two. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident of ifk. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, certain people accused Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, na'udhu billah, of committing an evil action with a great sahabi, Hazrat Safwan ibn Mu'attal radiallahu anhu. And Hazrat Aisha got left behind radiallahu anha on a journey while they were going back from a certain battle, and he found her and he brought her back. But the munafiqs and hypocrites, unfortunately, made a lot of accusations. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent these ayat of the Quran, and first time in the history of mankind, to show the honor. Allah said that some people have come with this buhtan, this slander. It's a small jamaat amongst you. Don't think it is evil for you, it is actually good for you. Because Allah gave you so much of honor by means of the day, that till Qiyamah people will remember you, and people will read about your purity. Your purity, O Aisha radiallahu anha, and all the Azwaj Mutharat is testified to in the Quran Sharif. But Allah, Muhammad Lahori rahmatullahi alayhi, says that one lesson we learn from this, in the rapt of the ayat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that see when a man and woman are alone, yeah, it was a necessity, but at other times when they are alone, yeah, it was a great Sahabiya Aisha radiallahu anha, a man like Safwan ibn Mu'attal radiallahu anha, great people. But just they were alone, how Shaitan came now and he caused fitna, and people started speaking in the stair, the tongue started wagging. So to a greater extent, it's for the lesson for the Ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man and a woman should never be together. When a man and woman are together, then Shaitan is definitely the third one. When they are working together in the shops and the businesses, the secretary, a person has got, and now a person is together with them, and what the evil it leads a person towards. So just if you are being alone without even doing any evil, this will also lead the people to start speaking evil about you. So what will happen if a person falls into evil? It will destroy a person's integrity in society. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whenever we hear about people, somebody accusing somebody else, and you know that person is a good person, pious person outwardly, you must say, هذا إفك مبين. This is a complete liar, fabrication. A person, a Muslim, is not a person who will do such an evil action. ما يكون لنا أن نتكلم بهذا. Is that possible for us to speak about things like this? سبحانك هذا بختان عظيم. This is a very great slander upon that person. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the people who love, that immorality must spread amongst the people of Iman. For them is a very painful punishment in this world and the year after. A very painful punishment. People who like immorality must spread. In today's time by means of, in that time they were trying to spread the message amongst people. In today's time by means of social media, where even people are unfortunately exposing their own gunas and sins, and the person is saying, I did this action, I did that action. That's a kind of jurat and a kind of boldness. Where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every one of my ummati will be forgiven, illa al-mujahireen, except those who openly show their gunas and sins. Sahaba asked, O Nabi of Allah, who is this mujahireen? He says, yes, these are the people who Allah has concealed the faults and the gunas and sins what they have done at night. And the next morning they go around posting and telling the people, I did this action, I did that action. And one harm of confessing to one's sins openly on public platforms, even if your name is not there, it creates boldness in other people. If this person could have done that action, I also will do it. Which is why Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi said also in the newspapers, in an Islamic newspaper, you'll never write about certain gunas and sins which people have done. See, this will create boldness in people. You see, what you must write, if somebody was caught doing an evil action and a punishment was meted out to him, so that then you can write the day in the newspaper. So now people will get fear, I must never do this action, because look what has happened. But if you're writing that, oh, everyone, this crime took place, so now the evil comes out from the hearts of people. That is why the ulama say that you must not read newspapers. And because when a person reads it, he's reading all gunas and sins. Eventually the evil of that guna comes out of that person's heart. Then he feels it's not evil anymore. One way to solve this is whenever we read something, immediately make a lot of dua. Allah, remove the filth and dirt. We should not read it, but if a person has come across it, then you must make dua. Otherwise, it will have an effect upon a person's heart. Amazing thing in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started off with Al-Zaniyatu wa-Zani. The Quran Sharif, always men are mentioned first and then women are mentioned. But here Allah mentions Al-Zaniyatu first, the female and then the male. And when it comes to stealing, the male is mentioned first and then the female. So Mawlana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib rahmatullahi used to say, he said that man has got the ability within him to earn. So for him to steal is much more evil. So Allah mentioned the male first. And for women folk, they got more haya and shame in them. So for a woman to commit zina is a far more evil action. That how can a woman ever have come out of that haya and shame which Allah had given into her and committed this evil action of zina and fornication? So that's why Allah Ta'ala in this place in the Quran, he mentions the zaniyatu first. That for a woman it's much more evil for her to commit this evil action. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions the great rank of the Azwaji Mutahharat, that they are completely pure. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is one his cousin. He also was amongst those people, unfortunately, who had spoken ill of Aisha radiallahu anha. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to look after him, help him and assist him. But when after this incident happened, then he took a qasam in the name of Allah, you won't help him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, forgive and overlook. Don't you love Allah must forgive you? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I love that Allah must forgive me. So then he started giving, according to some narrations, double the amount, even though that person had caused him harm. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu forgave him. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the masail of isti'adhan, to save ourselves from immoralities. When you enter somebody's house, ask permission always. Don't look into somebody's house. Even if the curtains are open, lower one's gaze, don't look into somebody's house. This can lead a person to a lot of evil. And قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Say to the believers, they must lower their gazes and protect their private parts. According to some ulama, this means the satr of a person must be covered. When you lower your gazes and cover your satr completely, so that the person from male is from the navel to below the knees, make sure this is covered at all times. Or the other meaning, وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. When you will look after your gazes, then your private parts will be protected. And Allah says, this is ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. The benefit is a lot of purity will be created in a person when a person will do this. And the ilaj and the cure, how can a person save himself from this evil action of looking? Is إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Have yaqeen and conviction, Allah is watching me. When a person has got this, then he will save himself from looking at haram. And Allah commands the women folk also, they also must lower their gazes, protect their private parts. And then Allah mentions the masail of satr for a woman. What is the satr of a woman? In great detail, the masala of farda will come, where she must cover her face in the 22nd juz. But in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in great detail what is the satr of a woman, how she must cover, in front of whom she can go to, it's permissible for her to remove some of her clothing. For example, her hair can be left open, her arms can be left open in front of certain people. Like example, her husband, obviously, then her parents, or her children, her father-in-law, her son-in-law, her brothers, nephews, in front of other Muslim women, etc. So Allah Ta'ala is mentioning all this in detail here. And from here we learn, example, cousins, or brothers-in-laws, or your uncles, your aunties, husbands, or your nieces, husbands, his parda and his law, among the law of hijab applies amongst them, where the family parda, this is unfortunately very, very lacking in the ummah. When it comes to family members, many people, mashallah, they have gone into parda and the hijab. But when it comes to family circles, then there is a lot of laxity, there is a lot of weakness in there. But it's also a very important command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Iyakum wal alham, beware of the in-law, the brother-in-law. Sahaba radiallahu anhu was surprised. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, alham wal maut, this is like death. If the fitna and the evil which comes here when somebody dies in the family, what happens? How people are in so much of sorrow, and what tragedy takes place when the laws of hijab are not kept there? Then it's like a death has taken place in the family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions that women also, when they are walking, must be very careful how when they stamp their feet, mustn't make sounds, because this will have an effect on the hearts of men. So from here, the ulama have taken out the masala that the woman's voice also, unnecessarily a person shouldn't listen to it. It's also farda of the woman's voice. He shouldn't just speak to her unnecessarily, she shouldn't speak to him, which in the 22nd part also Allah ta'ala mentions. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Oh believers, every one of you must make tawbah with regard to the matter of lust and desires. Because every person is very weak in this matter, so he easily falls into it. And if you want to save yourself from immorality, make nikah common amongst you people. Even if you are poor, Allah will make you wealthy by His fadl and His grace. And if a person, even then, he's got no ability and strength to go forward, then he must keep himself chaste. And by means of keeping roza for a continuous period, in this way a person will remain chaste. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions that when a person will do this, he will get nur, he needs to get nur in his heart. Where this nur will be attained? In the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the madaris, in the masajid, in the madaris, in the khankas, in the tablighi marakis, where the name of Allah ta'ala is taken, and people are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night. So in such places, a person will get nur. And on the other hand, the kuffar and disbelievers, they've got no nur and no light, and they are going complete their destruction. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that when the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come, a person must say, Sami'na wa ta'na, we hear and we obey. And they will be completely successful. And then the final result of this is, when these commands of Allah Ta'ala are followed, and Allah sees the people have got jazba in their heart, purity is coming in society, then Allah will give them khilafat on the earth, like how Allah had given the people in the past. Allah will give them the deen which Allah loves for them, Allah will make it common in the world. And after whatever fear there is and fright amongst the people, Allah will change it into aman and safety. And the object of them must be only to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not take any partners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to establish salat and to give their zakat and to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the great benefit which Allah will give in the society which are following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then thereafter, at the ending of the surah, another three commands are given regarding social etiquette. One is isti'azan, when you're entering the house of a person, when is it permissible, when is that permissible? Certain children can enter the house because they are small, they don't need permission. But there are certain times also they cannot enter. Allah has mentioned this. Certain women folk, when they reach old age, there is no necessity now for them to cover their faces and go out. But even then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَيَّ اسْتَعْفِفْنَ خَيْرُ اللَّهُونَ. If they remain chaste and pure, they even cover their face despite being old age, It is far, far better for them. And then a person will think that these masail of hijab are so difficult and the laws, that now there mustn't be any social interaction. So Allah said, no, there must be social interaction. Certain people you can meet, there's no haraj, there's no harm. You go into their houses, you go and visit them. If they follow the laws of hijab, there's nothing, no difficulty. And this is for your protection only, Allah has given you that. But besides that, go eat, go by your friend's house, your brother's house, your family's house, and meet one another. There's no harm at all. And when you go, they make salam to one another. فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. The salam is a grace. When you're making salam to others, you're actually making salam to yourself. You will get the benefit. And this greeting has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, full of barakat and blessings, and completely pure, which Allah has given to you people. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends off the last ruku of the surah, that among social etiquette is when you are in a gathering, then always ask the Amir permission before leaving. Don't just wake up and go around, go out. And when you have got your elders in front of them, do not just call them like how you call yourself. Especially the greatest elder is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Be careful of the words you are using, addressing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all your elders also, the Nabi is an example for us. For our elders, you must treat them with the respect and honor. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ. Those who go against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they must be careful. There's some fitna, some trial and tribulation can afflict them in this world. So you don't follow the commands of Allah ta'ala, the laws of hijab and all of these things. Some fitna and a trial can afflict you in this world. If not in this world, oh, يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Definitely in the year after, a severe punishment will afflict a person. And then Allah says, remember, whatever is in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows exactly the actions which you are doing. You will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He will inform you exactly what you have done in this world. Allah ta'ala knows everything. Therefore, obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your own success. And by not obeying the commands of Allah, you are putting yourself into great difficulty and problems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala Rasulihi al-Kareem. Amma ba'd. عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال مر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعبد الله بن رواحة وهو يذكر مع أصحابه فقال أما إنكم الملأ الذين أمرني الله أن أصبر نفسي معهم ثم تلا قوله تعالى واصبر نفسك مع الذين إلى آخر الآية رواه الطبراني. حضرت عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما فرماتے ہیں کہ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم کا گزر ہوا حضرت عبد الله بن رواحة رضي الله تعالى عنه کے پاس سے اس حال میں کہ وہ اپنے ساتھیوں کے ساتھ اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی کے ذکر میں مشغول تھے تو آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا بے شک تم ہی وہ جماعت ہو جن کے ساتھ مجھے اللہ نے آپ اپنے آپ کو روکے رکھنے کا حکم دیا ہے. پھر آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے اللہ کی اس فرمان کو تلاوت فرمایا وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآیَةِ. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that once Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu whilst he was engaged in the dhikr of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together with his friends. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, you are those very people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered me to sit with. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter recited the above ayah. Once again, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once passed by Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu whilst he was engaged in the dhikr of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together with his friends. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, you are those very people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered me to sit with. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter recited the above ayah.